Okay, let's get started with Malachim Beis, Perek Yudalad, as we start the second half of the Sefer, and we pick up from where we last left off. Yoash was the king of Israel, Yoash ben Yoachaz, Melech Yisrael. He ruled Israel, while Amatziah, the son of Yoash, Melech Yehuda, ruled Yehuda. So this Perek first starts talking about Yehuda, Malcha Yehuda. Yoash, who had started off positively under the tutelage of Yehoyada, but towards the end, he had, been led astray and did not end so well. As we know, he was assassinated. His son Amatziah takes over. When he's 25 years old, he takes over, unlike his father, who took over when he was very young. And what happened, the Navi describes that he followed Yashar Bene Hashem, but not as much as David Aviv, and he left the Bamos, as is described by all. But what happened, as he gets older, he first kills the people who had killed his father, right? They were Morad B'Malchus, he kills them, and then he goes and strikes Edom, who had recently seceded from the Malchus Yehuda. He went and hit Edom and was able to defeat them in battle. We'll see, there's not much written about that in our Perek, but we'll read some Divrei Hayamim, where it fills in a lot of the details. After the victory of Edom, Amatziah starts thinking of himself in a grandiose way, and he says, you know what, I want to reunite the Malchus, and he sends to Yoash ben Yoachaz, Malchi Yisrael, he says, no, let's fight. Yoash says, who are you kidding? Who are you kidding? It's not time to fight. You think you're so great, and he gives a mushel of a cedar tree and a thorn bush. Sounds like Yotam from the days of the Shoftim, and he says, you are just too full of yourself and don't think you could accomplish anything. Amatziah does not listen, and the Divrei Hayamim describes that he didn't listen to the Navi either, and he goes and he fights, and Malchi Yisrael wipe them and destroy them, and they run away, and they even come to Yerushalayim, and they make pirtzis in the walls of Yerushalayim, and they defeat Amatziah and Malchi Yehuda. The Perek then continues and says Amatziah dies, and then it switches to back to Malchi Yisrael, Yehoash. Yehoash was ruled for 15 years, and then he dies, and he is taken over by Yeravam, the second Yeravam in Malchi Yisrael, and Yeravam, this second Yeravam, rules for 41 years, even though the Navi describes that Bnei Yisrael continued to do bad, and as we said, there was no positive Malchi Yisrael, even though Yehu was for a little bit, but he expanded the borders, and Hashem gave him this success because he never leaves Am Yisrael, he always has Rachmanes, and he didn't want Am Yisrael to get totally wiped out. As the Navi describes, Yeravam dies at the end of the Perek, and Zechariah, his son, takes over. So this is the Perek Yudalad as we continue the line of kings, as we march towards the climax, or it should be the opposite of a climax, at the end of Sefer Malachim, when we read of the Churban. This Perek, already we'll see, set some seeds for that process as well. So here we go. Bishtashtayim liyosh ben Yoachaz Melech Yisrael, and when in the second year of Yoash Melech Yisrael, Amatziah takes over Yehuda. Ben Esrim v'chamishana, he was 25 years old when he took over, and he ruled for 29 years in Yerushalayim. As we know, the two centers, Yerushalayim and Shomron, Yerushalayim for Malchi Yehuda, and Shomron, more north, for Malchi Yisrael. Vayas hayashar b'nei Hashem, rak lo k'David Aviv. He followed straight in the ways of Hashem, not as much as his father David. He followed like his father Yoash, but the Bamosti he did not remove. So what exactly, can we define what he did and what he didn't do? He did Yashar, but not like David. So the Rinas Kizchak makes a suggestion based on the Pirush, on the Rambam in Hilchot Yesodei HaTorah. The Rambam has a famous explanation, or presentation, we should say, in Perek Beis, Halacha Beis of Yesodei HaTorah, about Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem. What is the way, two of the mitzvahs tmidios, how do we get to Ava and Yira? So in other places, the Rambam talks about Talmud Torah. That's how you get, if you look in Sefer HaMitzvot, the Rambam talks about it, getting close to Hashem, Ava and Yira, through Talmud Torah. But here, he has a very different presentation, as is known. Here he talks about the world. B'shashi yisponein adam b'ma'asav, u'b'ruava nifla'im agdolim, v'yir'a me'em chachmaso, she'ein la'erch v'lo keitz. When you look around the world, and the creatures, and the beings, and you see it's infinite, and it's unbelievable, miyad u'ohevu mishabeach u'mufa'er, u'misav etai v'gadola. All of a sudden, I want to praise, I'm filled with a deep desire to know Hashem. K'mo shamar David, tzama nafshi l'elokim l'kelchai. Like David has a thirst, and the Rambam says amazingly, and at the same moment, that I'm thinking about these items and these beings and these creations that is bringing me closer to Hashem, miyad, hu nirtalach ora v'yarei v'yifached v'yodea, shubir yaktan ashvela fela omed v'das kala, mi'uta lifnei tzimim deyim. At the same time, I realize I am a small, insignificant ant in the universe, kamo sha'amar David. Again, as David says, ki era shamecha ma'aseh esposecha, ma'enosh ki tizkarenu, v'chulu. And that's how you get to Ava and Yira. Says the Mefarish, says the Pirish on the side of the Rambam right here, in Yesodi HaTorah, really there are two types of Ava and two types of Yira, as we know from many sources, but he says it right here. He says, Ava metzuya l'chol davar ha'nehav u'bishvol shnei dinyanim, ho'echa bishvol tova v'hana v'chesed sheyagia lo'ohev me'hane'ehav. The first type of love is because I get something for it, what's called Ava. Hatzluya b'davar kamo avas avdi ha'melech l'melech v'avas ha'ish Isha, because I get something in return. V'hasheni, hu kisheyira ha'adam davar na'eh, v'yetav be'enav, ye'ahav v'yisavelo. If I see something so unbelievable, I have a strong desire to be connected to it. Not because it gives me something, but it helps, it deepens my connection to the item. K'mo sheyira adam even tova yikara, o bayis na'eh mushubach, mi'am misavin nafshali, hi davik bo v'lagaselo. I see a gorgeous house. I don't dafka desire. What does the house give me? Nothing, but I'm connected to it. And he says, Ava tliya badavar, Ava shina tliya badavar. And he says the same thing with Yira. As we know, Yiras ha'onesh or Yiras ha'amitis, Yiras ha'romimus. Suggest the Rinas Yitzchak, maybe that's what's being alluded to in the Psukim. David HaMelech, as the Rambam said, had the higher level of love. Had the Ava Amitis and the Yira Amitis, Eina Tzluya B'davar. Masha'enke and his descendants, Yoash and now Amatzia, had the lower level. It was Tzluya B'davar, and therefore it was not something that stayed for forever. Let's continue. Raka Bamos Lo Saru. But again, as many kings did, he left the Bamos, as we discussed in the past, why they did that. Vayehi. Kasher Chazka Mamlacha Biado. Once Amatzia was king for a couple of years, and the Malchus was strengthened. Vayachas Avadav Amakim Es Amalach Aviv. He took care, he killed those who had assassinated his father, the king. Es Hamelech Aviv. So the Mishmat Zozav discusses, why doesn't it say Aviv Hamelech? Why Hamelech Aviv? So he quotes that maybe the point is that there were two reasons why Amatzia could have killed the people who killed his father. Number one, he could have killed because he was a Goel Hadam. He was a relative. They killed on purpose. Right? There was no Hasra. There was no nothing. So Chayim Misa. So therefore, you kill him because he's the Goel Hadam. Number two, maybe he was killed because of Morib B'Malchus. You rebelled against the king. You killed the king. So I am the next king, and you could kill even for a previous king. That's why, says the Mishpat Zozav, the Lashon is changed here. It said, it doesn't say Es Aviv Es Hamelech. It says Hamelech Aviv. And to emphasize that it was because of Morib Malchus. It was Hamelech, and then it was Aviv. Okay, but Bnei Amakim Lo Hamis Pasuk Vav. Fascinating pasuk. But he did not kill the children of the people, though, that had killed his father. Why? Kakaz, which sounds like maybe that was what was done in the days of old when you took revenge. Because the Torah says not to. Kakasav b'sefer Torah Moshe, as it says in Torah Moshe. Unbelievable. The Navi here is quoting the Torah. Kakasav b'sefer Torah Moshe. And the Navi calls the Torah Torah Moshe, as the Pasuk also at the end of Nevi'im, Zichra Torah Moshe Avdi. An amazing Pasuk where the Navi quotes the Torah. Asher Tziva Hashem Leimar, as Hashem told Moshe, saying, Lo Yumsu Avos Abanim, Uvanim Lo Yumsu Alavos, Ki Im Ish Bechet'o, You Must. Right, that's the paraphrase of the Pasuk in that appears in Dvarim Perachav Dalad Pasuk Tezayin, as the Radak quotes here. What's interesting, though, the Radak points out is that What is the pashas of the pasuk that Amatzia is using the pasuk to understand that children should not die based on the sins of the father, and therefore even though the father assassinated his father, they wouldn't kill the children. Chazal, though, don't understand the pasuk like that. Chazal don't learn that pasuk kipshuta. They learn it, as the Gemara says in Sanhedrin Chav Zayin, that this is a pasuk teaching me that krovim, relatives, cannot testify. Lo yumsu avos albanim, that means fathers shouldn't die based on the testimony of the children. Uvanim lo yumsu alavos, and children should die with the testimony of their father. Ish b'cheto yumasu. So the Radak points out, even though the Chazal darshan it to teach me that halacha, but still, ein mikra yosei midei pshuto, you still have to understand it as the pshat, which is a very interesting point. The Gemara says in Yevamos, there's only one exception to the rule for ein mikra yosei midei pshuto. The Gemara says, only the pasuk by Yibum, ha-bechor asher teled, yokim al-shem achiv ames. Ha-bechor, the bechor, so we darshan that to mean, it means the oldest brother, does Yibum. So that's not the pashas at all. The Gemara says that's the one exception to the rule. And there are various discussions of mitzvos that seem to ignore the pshat as well. But this is one of them. The Radak says, Amatzia did not ignore the pshat. And therefore, maybe the pshat is understood in this way, even though Chazal darshan it differently. Another example of this is by Lifnei Iver. The Menchas Chinuch already points out that Lifnei Iver lo siti michshol, if you look at Rashi on the Pasuk jumps to say, this means that if you give bad advice, so then that's Hashem knows, and therefore you shouldn't give bad advice. Or, Chazal understand that to mean we can't facilitate anybody doing an Aveira. Ask the Menchas Chinuch, Reish Lamed Beis, what about the Pashtus? What about Pshuto Shel Mikra of putting a rock in front of a blind person? He says, he says, if you look in the Chinuch, you look in the Rambam, they don't quote this. I don't know why they don't quote the Pshat and the Drash. The Pshat, don't put a rock in front of a blind person. It's usher for other reasons. And else, but why isn't it usher because of this? So the Menachas Chinuch leaves it b'tzarachin, v'lo yadati minalon, d'zem mefurish ena b'chla halav. I don't know why they didn't quote this. So there are various suggestions given to say, no, Chazal, do understand the pshat. The Meshech Chachma writes that the pshat is putting a pit, right, barbish as a rabim. Maybe that's included on a daraisa level, the Isser of Hezek. The Klei Yakar says, read to the end of the pasuk. Lifnei Iver lo siti michshol, it says, v'yareisam elokecha ani Hashem. What does that always mean? You shall fear God. That means, even if it doesn't look like an Aveira on the surface, but Hashem knows, and Hashem's going to take care of it. Maybe, suggests the Klei Yakar, that's why Rashi says what he says. Because if it was the pshat of putting the rock in front of a blind person, so then, of course, you don't need Hashem to know that's evil. Everybody knows that's evil. So it must be something deeper. That's why Rashi and Chazal maybe understood that the Pshuto Shel Mikra is something different. But either way, this is another example of Pshuto Shel Mikra against Chazal, but that's how Amatzia learns the Pasuk. Children should not die for the sins of their father. But now it continues and says, Amatzia went and fought Edom. Who? Because Edom begay Melach, Aseres, Alafim. He killed 10,000 Edomites. V'tafas es ha-sela v'melchama. And he grabbed the sela, which might mean a certain place, v'melchama in war. So if you look in Divrei Hayamim, as often is the case, Divrei Hayamim beis, Perachav, hey, fills in a lot more details, many more details to this story. He goes, and the one that is important for us is that he wants to show his strength. So besides the 10,000 mentioned in our pasuk, what does he do? He takes another 10,000, he brings them up to a cliff, and basically pushes them off the cliff. And Chazal say on that, that's what you do. This was Abbas, the Medrash in Eicha says. This was another reason why the Churban happened, brazenness and such cruelty. That's not what Am Yisrael do. That's not Rachmanim Baishanim Vegomli Chasadim. But that's what the Pasuk says. They threw him off. Maybe that's what the Sela means here. The Tafa says a Sela by Melchama. It says here that Vayicharaf Hashem Ba'amatzia, because he did this, Achrei Bo'amatzia Me'akos says Adomim. I'll just read you the pasuk where it says that that's what he did with these 10,000 people. Again, it's Perachav Hey, pasuk Aleph through Yubayz. It's discussed here. Vayikmas Amatzias Yehuda. He gathered them and he put them on top of a cliff. Let me just find the pasuk. Okay, I'm not going to read it now, but it's here in this parak. Here it is. It's pasuk Yubayz. Vaseras alafim chayim shavu b'nei Yehuda vayaviyum merosha sela, same word, vayashlichum merosha sela v'kulam nivku'u. Terrible, brazen thing to do. Also along the way, it says there, which we'll have to come back to, that he asked Ephraim to help him out. He had people from Ephraim, the northern kingdom, and then Hashem comes to him and Anavi tells him, you don't need them. Hashem's going to help you out. So he sends them away after having paid for them. But they were so hurt. Oh, you don't need us? So they went and killed thousands of Jews in Yehuda. And that's why, we'll see, one of the reasons that he wants to take revenge later in the parak. But that is the story of Edom, which is discussed in fuller, appreciation of it is there in Divrei Hayamim. Vayikra Shma Yokteel Ad Hayom Hazeh, and the pasuk says that that place is called Yokteel until today. Rashi calls Yokteel is from the Lashon Kihui Shinayim. His teeth were fallen out. What does that mean? Again, the Divrei Hayamim describes that he also brought back some idols of Edom. Unbelievable. One would think he's going to fight them, and he wins the war even without the Bnei Ephraim. But he brings back idols, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets very angry about. Right, the pasuk describes there in Divrei Hayamim, Vayicharaf Hashem Ba'amatzia, Vayishlach Elav Navi, Vayomer Elav, Lama Darashne, Salohei Ha'am, Ashelo Hitzilu Es Ama Miyadecha. What are you doing? Halu Yo'etz Lamelech Nisanucha, Chadalucha, Lama Yakucha, why? Vayachtel HaNavi, the Navi tried to tell him, but Amatzia did not care. The Navi tells him, don't fight anymore, but he did not care, right? He was so full of himself at this point. As Shalach Amatzia, what covet does to you. Shalach Amatzia Malachim. El Yoash ben Yoachas ben Yehu Melech Yisrael. He says to Yehoash, the son of Achaz, the son of Yehu. As we know, four generations Yehu was promised. He says, L'cha nitra'e panim. Let us see faces. What does that mean? Let us see faces. Rashi says, Melchama. Mesudas David says, panim el panim, nitra'e. Right, let's not just go me'achorei, and it's if somebody gets it by surprise. That doesn't show true gvura and true power. You know, let's go straight. Let's go straight and be able to fight each other straight. Vayishlach Yehoash melech Yisrael al Amatzia, so the Yehoash sends to Amatzia back in a riddle. Hachoach asher belevanon, shalach el ha'erez asher belevanon. The thorn bush sends to the cedar tree. Tznot bitcho lebnei leisha, give me your daughter. And the vatavar chayas ha'sadeh asher belevanon, vatir Moses hachoach, and the thorn bush was crushed. Hakeik, meaning he's giving a muscle that I'm the cedar, and you're a thorn bush, and you're trying to get me to fight a war, I'm gonna crush you. Some say it has to do with Shechem and Hamor. Either way, Hakei Kises Edom Unisacha Libecha. You defeated Edom and your heart has been raised up. He kaved v'sheve v'secha. Just go home. Quit while you're ahead. V'lama tiskare bara'ah. V'nafalta atav Yehuda imach. Don't do this. V'lo shama Amasyo. Amasyo didn't do it. He didn't listen here to Yehoash and he didn't listen to the Navi. In Divrei Hayamim, it also says that it was all part of the divine plan, part of his punishment. Right? Perachaf hei pasachaf. The pasuk says, Velo shama amatzio ki me Elohim hi. Lamanti tam biyad ki darshu es Elohei Edom. Part of the punishment was the Avodah Zarah that he did, like the Rambam writes in Hilchos Tshuva. Sometimes you can reach a level that Hashem takes away the Hashgacha and lets things happen. He does not bring this example, but the Rambam quotes Perek Vav Halacha Gimel in Hilchos Tshuva. The Efter Sheyechta Adam Chet Gadol O Chatom Harbei Ad Sheyitein Adin Lefnei Dayon HaEmes Sheyeh Piroer Mizachote Al Chatoim Elu Sheaseh Beretzono Midayto Shemonim Imenu Atshuva Vein Menichin Lo Rishus Vashu Mirisho Kedei Sheyomus Viyovad Bachatom Sheaseh. That sounds exactly what the pasuk says, how the pasuk describes this story in Divrei Hayamim, that he lets him go, and that's what happens. So he goes to fight. Vayal Yehoash, so Yehoash goes up, they go and fight, and they fight in Beit Shemesh. Beit Shemesh asher Yehuda, they come all the way down. Vayinokev Yehuda levnei Yisrael, Yehuda is crushed. Vayanusu ishto alav, they run away. Amatzia, the king, Ben Yehoash, Ben Achazyahu, Tavaz Yehoash, Yehoash grabbed him in Beit Shemesh, brought him to Yerushalayim to witness what he was going to do. Vayifrotz Bechomas Yerushalayim, they break through the walls of Yerushalayim. The Abarbanel says, this isn't Dafka to go against Hashem, but this was the derech of the victors in the days of old. When they went into a city, they didn't just go through the gate. They wanted to show their victory, and therefore they made a huge hole in the gate. Minak ha-kesarim, asher baromi, va'od hayom, hu minak malchei edom agdolim. Kashi yikantsu la'ir, says the Abarbanel. Lo yikantsu bepesach ha'ir, avol yersu chelek me'achoma, kadei shiyikantsu ba'osa pirtsa, lo ha'ir shepartsu peretz gadol ba'ayveyem. Right, to go through, they break it through, and that's what they did here. But terrible. They broke the gates of Yerushalayim, arba me'ot ama, a huge pirtsa. V'lokach es kol hazava, kesef es kol hakelim, they brought all the gold, whatever that was left, in the Beis Hashem, lo tzvos Beis HaMelech, that Yoash hadn't sent out earlier. Either way, that was it. Then it says Yehoash and Amatzia fought, and Yehoash dies, and he goes and is buried in Shomron up north. Some say that he died right after this, and Yeravam, his son, takes over. Fine. Vayichi Amatzia ben Yehoash ben Yehuda, now back to Amatzia. Amatzia did not die, interestingly, from this. At this point, it says there was another 15 years that he was in hiding, but finally they caught up to him. Vayikshu alav kesher v'yushalayim v'yanas lachish, he runs to Lachish, and there he is killed. Vayim yaseu sham. It's a question exactly, the Maradak has a long discussion here, and Rashi, when were these 15 years? But either way, he was killed, and they bring him back to Yerushalayim, at least to get buried in Ir David. His son takes over, Azariah, who has other names in Tanakh, but here he's called Azariah. He is 16. So it's amazing that these two kings were assassinated and their son took over. It wasn't a throw over a rebellion that they didn't like the malchus based of it, but just this person deserved punishment, and therefore he was punished. And then the end of the parak discusses Yeravam. Yeravam number 2, Ben Yoash Melech Yisrael, he ruled for 41 years. Vayas hara ben Hashem. The pasuk says he did evil. Lo sar mikol chatos Yeravam ben Avat. He did terrible things, just like Yeravam did. But who heshev as gvul Yisrael? Milavo chamas ad yam arava. But he expanded the borders. Right? He expanded the borders. How did he expand the borders? So there is a Gemara in Psachim, based on a Medrash 2, Psachim Pezayin, that Yeravam heard Lashon Hara about Amos, about one of the Nevi'im, and he did not accept the Lashon Hara. And because he didn't accept the Lashon Hara, he was rewarded. Says the Gemara, Im ibnei ma zacha Yeravam ben Yoash Melech Yisrael lihimanos im malcha Yehuda, misha kiba Lashon Hara al Amos. Minolan de Imni, and he quotes that he's accounted amongst the kings, he didn't accept Lashon Hara, because Amatzia, who, a different Amatzia in Amos, sent a false prophet sends to Yeravam, Kashar alecha, and he's rebelling against you, and he says you're gonna die. He says, no, my Navi wouldn't say that, he didn't accept it, and that's why he was rewarded. The Bar Moshe even says, maybe we know the Meraglim spoke Lashon Hara, and that's why they lost Eretz Yisrael. So he did not accept it. There's a connection to not being Mekabel Lashon Hara, and the connection to Eretz Yisrael. So this pasuk continues, though, and says, he expanded the borders exactly as Yonah ben Amittai. First time we have him explicitly, I think, in the text. Just like Yonah ben Amittai had said. So he was alluded to earlier. He was the Talmud of Elisha, and some say he was the one that was made alive by Eliyahu HaNavi, the Ben HaTzarfatit. So that's what he had said, that Yehu was going to have four generations, and he had, maybe there was a prophecy. The Mefarshim say that is not written here, but exactly what Yonah ben Amittai said was fulfilled. Chazal darshin that Yonah, based on Gemara in Yevamos, there are really 2 days there in Yevamos on Daf Sadiches, that whether there's a pasuk in Yonah that says that he did not receive any more nevuah. It says Vayhi Dvar Hashem al Yonah Shenis. Paragimel of Yoni, Hashem spoke to him twice. The Gemara darshins, but not a third time. Why? Because Yonah, the language of the Gemara, is Tavak Foda Ben Velo Tavak Foda At. He was so nervous for Klal Yisrael. Right? What happened? Hashem said, go tell Nineveh. And because he didn't want Bnei Yisrael to look bad, he ran away. He was so worried about the Bnei Yisrael's coven. What about Hashem's coven? So, at least one opinion there takes the Yonah to task. There's a fascinating medrash. The medrash says that Eliyahu HaNavi, we discussed this weeks ago, Eliyahu HaNavi was so machmed for Kvod Hashem, and not for Kvod Am Yisrael. Kano Kinesi, that's why Hashem says, you know what, I can't have you anymore. Kano Kinesi, and I have to have a new leader. So Eliyahu is Toveya Kvod Av, and not Kvod Aben. Yonah suggests the Musar Nevi'im was Toveya Kvod Ben, he was trying to be Misakein. Because then, and not Kvod Av. Problem is, you have to have both. You have to have both, and therefore, that was the problem in this regard. But the parak ends off by saying, even though there was terrible Avodah Zarah going on at that time under Yeravam, but Hashem did not leave them. But Pasuk says, why? Ki ra Hashem es ani Yisrael more ma'od. The Bnei Yisrael were so downtrodden. The Efes atzur va'azuv ein ozer li Yisrael. And there was nobody to help. And Hashem did not want to wipe us out. The Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky says right here, there were two reasons said in the pasuk here why Hashem protected us. Number one, because sometimes even without tshuva, tefillah could work. Unbelievable. Right? He doesn't quote it, but that's the story of Menashe. Right? I might as well try. No tshuva, but tefillah has a power. Number two, maybe because we were so downtrodden, even if we don't deserve it, Hashem promised, and therefore He needs to give us a little hope, even though we were so downtrodden. And Rabbi Yaakov here on Navi quotes what he writes in Parshas Bo, that often we find whenever there is a terrible, terrible tragedy, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to give us a little chizik. so that we have strength to go on. And that's what we had bias sheni. Even though there wasn't a real bias, it was missing the five things, but we wouldn't have been able to go into Galus without those couple hundred years in the Beis HaMikdash. And that's why he says in the footnote, and that's why he said Medinat Yisrael came right after the Shoah. There was no Jewish identity. There was no, everybody was just depressed and nothing and Torah. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, created Medinat Yisrael, Sibe HaKadosh Baruch Hu Zakamas HaMedina, Kedei Lachazek Et HaZehut HaYehudit Ulekayem Et HaKesher Shebein Yahadut HaGolah V'Klal Yisrael. Hashem had to do something for us to give us a little hope. Okay, the end of the parak ends off. Yeravam dies, and his son Zachariah takes over. Okay, we'll have to stop here as we continue our march through Sefer Melachim.